With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Homicide and Sweet Tea. I hope you had a chance to listen to our Monday episode of Two Chicks and a Crucifix yesterday, where Lark told the ghostly story of La Llorona and da-da-da-da, we have a brand new website.
Yay!
It is www.kudzukillers.com. And you can access all the episodes there and play them there, or pick your favorite app to play them on over at the side on the page, and sign up for future newsletters from us. And I'm thinking you can even leave us a voicemail, but I haven't figured that part out yet. So maybe you guys can. You're smarter than me anyway.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Wow.
Yeah, that would be fun. And you can add yourself to our email list and get updates, or subscribe to us there. So there you go.
So y'all do that. Do it. Do it.
And I'm pretty excited about that, too.
Me too.
So today I'm going to bring you what I would call a horrifying story of Elise Poller, a 15-year-old high school student from Arroyo Grande, California. Arroyo Grande is a small town with a population of about 18,000 near San Luis Obispo, which isn't that much bigger. I think it's got like less than 50,000 people. But they're about 80 miles north of Santa Barbara, to give you a little bit of reference if you know where that is, which is north of L.A. That little cutie Zac Efron grew up there.
Oh,
did you
my.
See him play Ted Bundy?
I did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was really creepy, but good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was. Mm-hmm.
Now, this town's pretty safe from crime, I think, from what I could tell. A little lower rate now than it was back in 95 when this happened, but still below the U.S. average in violent crime. But probably still not a good idea for a 15-year-old girl to be running around at night back in 95.
Well, never. Not then, not now.
No. Elise was involved in her community. She was in the theater group at her high school. She was active in sports. And she was even a member of the church choir.
Aww.
But she had a little bit of a wild side, like some teenagers do. I didn't. I was too much of a goody-two-shoes. But Elise would you couldn't tell, could you? But Elise would often sneak out at night and go drinking and smoking pot with her friends. In fact, she'd been in rehab at one point at the Maricopa Community Recovery Center. I couldn't find that place. I tried. I'm not sure if it's still there or what the location is. I'm assuming it's probably somewhere near SLO or in SLO, but I couldn't find the location. Wherever it is, it was there that she met another teenager by the name of Jacob DeLashmet. Elise wanted to be an actress, and Jacob played in a heavy metal band with his two friends, Royce Casey and Joseph Fiorella. Elise had attended school with Fiorella at one point before he left, and they knew each other. In fact, you might say Fiorella had a little bit of a crush on Elise, and she was a very pretty girl. Unbeknownst to Elise, though, these boys had a dark side, much darker than sneaking out at night to have a drink or a toke.
Ruh-roh.
Fiorella, who was the youngest of the three, was heavily into reading about satanic worship, and Satan. He brooded a lot in his room, reading books on the subject and listening to the music of a heavy metal band, Slayer, which we'll talk about more in a minute. The three boys formed a metal band they called Hatred. They were sort of a tribute band, I guess you could say, of Slayer, since they more or less copied their style.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much most of what these boys did was sit around listening to Slayer and smoking pot and taking other drugs like meth and planning to make a sacrifice to Satan.
Oh my.
Which they had decided would be what made them a professional band. It would make their guitar playing fantastic and their music stellar. They'd become rich and famous. All they needed was a sacrifice, specifically mm-hmm. a human sacrifice.
Mm.
And better if it was a pure and beautiful sacrifice, Satan would love that more. Like a virgin. Like a blonde-haired, blue-eyed virgin.
Oh my.
Like a Elise Pollard.
Ruh-roh.
So on the night of July 22nd, 1995, Elise was home with her family sitting around watching TV when she got a phone call. It was one of the boys asking her to meet them, hang out, smoke some pot. She told her parents she was going to bed, and then she snuck out of the house, as she was known to do, and met the boys near a patch of eucalyptus trees on the Napomo Mesa. There they sat around and got high, and then suddenly Delashmet moved behind Elise, ripped his belt from his pants, and wrapped it around her neck.
Oh, my goodness.
While he strangled her, Casey held her down as she thrashed and screamed to God and prayed to God and cried out for her mother.
Aww.
Then Fiorella pulled out a hunting knife and stabbed her in the neck.
Oh, no.
The boys took turns stabbing her as she continued to scream and pray and cry for her mama.
Aww.
But Elise didn't die. Not right away. None of the stab wounds were fatal. So as she lay there slowly and painfully bleeding to death, the boys took turns stomping on her neck, trying to make her die faster.
Oh my goodness.
When she finally took her last breath, the boys took turns raping her body.
Oh no.
When they were finished, they just left her there, lying among the eucalyptus trees.
Mm.
And listen, that wasn't the end of it.
No?
They came back to the patch trees over and over, raping Elise's dead and decomposing body.
Oh.
They even bragged about it to their friends, but I guess they didn't believe them. Maybe they had a history of lying or making stuff up. Who knows?
More than likely.
I can't figure out why nobody told anybody, especially when Elise turned out to be missing.
Right.
This is a really small town. Only 14,000 people back in 1995.
Aren't her parents wondering where she's at?
Yeah, they're looking for her.
Okay.
And nobody's saying anything. That's what I couldn't figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Fiorella even told his mother what they'd done, and she didn't do a thing.
You think she believed him, maybe? Maybe they're full of lies all the
time. I'm guessing they lied all the time, and
right.
that nobody believed what
right.
they had to say.
Right. You lie enough, then you tell the truth, then you're covering yourself.
And they didn't even just brag about killing her to these people. They told them about going back over and over again to have sex with the corpse.
Oh, God.
But nobody said a word. Nobody told the cops. And all this time, Elise's parents were trying to find their daughter, and nobody helped at all.
That's horrible.
Yes, it is. But then something happened to Royce Casey. He moved on from the satanic worship. He became a Christian. He started going to church, and he developed a conscience. He'd also become afraid of the other two teens because they knew he was feeling guilty about what they'd done, and they knew that about his newfound faith. And they told him Elise wouldn't be the only one murdered. Casey went to the police detectives who'd been trying to find Elise for 8 months, and he confessed what they'd done. He led them to her body, and in March 1996, they found Elise under those eucalyptus trees on the Napomo Mesa. And Casey told them everything.
This was like 9 months later. She's probably like, she's just,
yeah.
ooh.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't anyone have found them?
I guess nobody went up to that mesa in that particular grove of eucalyptus trees. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we're going to take a break here, and we'll be back to talk about confessions and trials after a word from our sponsors.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh? Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, I'm Jules from Riddle Me That True Crime.
I'm Robin Warder from The Trail Went Cold, and Jules and I want to tell you a little bit about a case that means a great deal to us. The death of 9-month-old baby Jacob Landine on April the 10th, 1987, in Socorro, New Mexico.
The day prior to his death, on April 9th, baby Jacob was being watched by his mother Brenda's new boyfriend John, not his real name, in his mobile home on 1453 Fatima Drive. While John was babysitting Jacob, Jacob would incur what would be his second head injury in a period of weeks. The prior head injury was a subdural hematoma, or brain bleed, and it was serious enough that it needed to be lanced to take pressure off baby Jacob's brain while being monitored by doctors over the course of several days.
The circumstances surrounding how Jacob was injured and subsequently died are murky at best, with the suspect giving multiple versions of the events of the day, ranging from Jacob choking and accidentally hitting his head while trying to dislodge a cookie, to Jacob falling and John returning to see the injured infant.
The suspect also reportedly confessed to officers that he was indeed responsible, but there is no paper or audio record of this confession in the police file. The reasons given by the DA for not pursuing the case are confusing as well, with one of the reasons being that they were worried that John would file charges against the state.
It was the opinion of the doctors that baby Jacob was struck in the head, and this was no accident. In the years to follow, John goes on to sexually abuse young Eric, as well as physically abusing his mother Brenda, and emotionally abusing and isolating them both, making the world very small.
During the autopsy, layers of abuse seem to be present. A healing rib fracture from around the time of the first head injury is also discovered. It's impossible to say exactly when the injury took place, but what is clear is that someone was abusing young Jacob, and that person was most likely John.
Eric Landine, Jacob's brother, has been fighting to get justice for him. However, he faces some obstacles, such as the statute of limitations of 6 years on second-degree murder that State Representative Bill Rehm has petitioned to have overturned.
Join Robin and I, as well as criminologist Dr. Ashley Wellman, an investigative expert, a legal expert, a forensic psychiatrist, as well as Jacob's brother Eric, as we explore all angles of this case and try to bring awareness, understanding, and hopefully, ultimately, justice for Jacob.
The series starts on March the 1st. Tune in on your favorite podcast app.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Thanks for coming back. Now let's go back to our heartbreaking story about the murder of Elise Poller. Royce Casey basically spilled his guts to investigators. The boys had planned Elise's murder for more than a month while they sat around playing death metal and listening to Slayer, he said. They took the band's lyrics about sex, the devil, and murder seriously. They had decided, as I said earlier, that making a sacrifice to Satan would make them become rich and famous. As Casey said during his confession, they felt it would give them the right level of craziness to be a successful death metal band. They thought if they made the perfect sacrifice to Satan, he'd help them play guitar and they'd go, to use Casey's word, professional.
Wow.
According to Casey, they'd attempted to kill her once before. Casey hadn't been there, but he said Fiorella and DeLashmet had enlisted another teenager named Williams, according to one of the accounts I read. They named him as Williams, but the other ones didn't name him. But they got him to help them out. They talked Elise into going for a walk with them in a ravine on the mesa. And then Fiorella tossed Williams a knife, and both Fiorella and DeLashmet shouted for him to do it, do it. Instead, the teen just stood there.
Lost his nerve.
Yep, he lost his nerve, and the murder plot was foiled. But Elise never reported this. She never told anybody that it happened. And evidently, I'm guessing she didn't take them seriously either.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Because she still trusted these boys enough to go out with them again on the night of her murder.
Exactly.
I personally don't think I'd have anything to do with them again.
No, me either.
I mean, they must have just laughed it off with her and pretended they were playing a prank. Otherwise, I can't imagine why she'd go out with them at night to the Mesa again. Or, like I said, even speak to them, unless she just didn't believe they were serious.
Who knows? She's a young girl, plus, you know, if they had drugs that she wanted to get high, or, you know, whatever.
True.
There's no logic when you're a teenager a lot of times.
No, for sure. So after his confession, after police located the body and notified Lisa's parents about their daughter, Royce Casey, Joseph Fiorella, and Jacob DeLashmet were arrested for the murder of Elise Poller.
Well, good.
Well, he got scared because they quoted some lyrics from a Slayer song, and I couldn't find the song, but it was something like, if you aren't with us, then you won't exist, something to that effect. And I could not find the song that it comes from. Yeah, if you're not with us, you may no longer exist. That's what the words were. But anyway, they all pled no contest and admitted their crime, admitted to the necrophilia, admitted to planning the murder as a sacrifice for Satan.
Wow.
They said the lyrics of the songs of Slayer gave them the idea. And like I said, they found specifically the song that says, if you're not with us, you may no longer exist. And I tried to find that song, where it comes from, and I couldn't find it anywhere. So if somebody knows, let us know. I'm thinking that maybe the wording in the article I read is not quite right, so that's why I couldn't track it down. But that's what the boys quoted to the detectives, and who knows. But if you know it, contact us on our new website and let us know what the song is.
Right, because for the most part, Kim and I and our men know their metal, don't they, Kim?
Well, yeah.
They know their metal, so.
I'm getting to that. And mine said... No, that's not a lyric to any Slayer song he knows. But anyway.
Right. I'm sorry.
Each of the boys were sentenced to 26 years to life. Only 26 years for what they did.
That's horrible.
Premeditated cold-blooded murder and necrophilia.
Exactly.
Leaving that girl out there to rot while her parents in the town looked for her for 8 months.
Oh, that's horrible. Horrible.
Right now they're being held at separate prisons across California. Joseph Fiorella is now 40. He was kind of the ringleader, even though he was the youngest. And he was the one who turned the others on to Satanism, because he was really into it. He was the one who first stabbed her in the throat. And he was up for parole in June of 2019. On August 22nd of that year, at his own request, he waived his right to a parole hearing for 2 more years. And he will have another parole suitability hearing on July 7th of this year. And at time, he's incarcerated at High Desert State Prison in Susanville, California. So I'm telling you guys all this. You can write that parole board and say, don't let this guy out.
Exactly.
Jacob DeLashmet is now 41 years old. He's the one that Elise counted as a friend they met at rehab. He's the one who knew what she'd gone through with drug and alcohol problems. And he was eligible for parole in September of 2017. But he was denied parole and won't be eligible again until December of 2024. He's currently housed at the Correctional Training Facility, which is a fancy name for a prison in Soledad, California. Royce Casey is now 42. He was the oldest of the three. He was eligible for parole in December of 2016. He's been denied parole twice before. On July 12, 2016, he was denied parole for 5 more years. But then he filed a petition to move that date up to 3 years and was once again denied parole in July 24th of 2019. Again, he filed a petition, and he has another hearing this year, next month, in fact, on March 17th.
Oh, my.
Here's hoping he gets denied again, because he seems to want out really bad if he keeps filing these petitions.
Well, we all need to write in, so.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all rewind a little bit, listen to that again, and write in.
Although he was the one whose guilt finally made him want to confess, it was 8 months and a few conjugal visits to her body late in my mind.
Ugh, for sure.
I don't personally think any of them should get parole ever.
No.
There's no point in having them in prison if you're going to let them have a new parole hearing every couple of years either.
Right.
They shouldn't be having parole hearings.
Right.
I mean, I know that's their right because they didn't get a life sentence and they should have. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. But this could go on and on forever. Yeah. Amen.
It could. Yeah. Now let's go back to Slayer and the death metal band these guys were playing with. Elise's parents, who were outraged at the testimony that these boys planned their daughter's murder while listening to Slayer's death music, decided to sue Slayer for harmful and murderous lyrics of their music. They tried twice, and their lawsuits were tossed both times, the judges saying that they had no merit.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to agree. I always thought it was silly to blame video games or heavy metal music for murders or suicides or other types of violence. People choose their actions. They don't have to do what the music says in the lyrics, you know?
Right.
As I was researching the story, though, I did find some studies that had different conclusions. They seemed to find that the violence of the lyrics, the thrashing beats of the music, made the listeners angry, upped their stress levels, caused them to sometimes lash out in aggression. Mm-hmm. But according to a counter study out of Australia, which I read on sciencefocus.com, most of these studies fail to take into account things like their home life, their drug abuse, possible violent upbringing, and other things that could account for the violence seen in some of the heavy metal listeners.
Exactly.
They basically said that heavy metal listeners are no more likely to be desensitized to violence than non-listeners, but their backgrounds of drug use and other factors may lead to a higher tendency for those behaviors. And I can probably buy into that.
Well, we're not murderers. Our guys aren't murderers.
No.
You know? Most listeners are not murderers.
I think with most killers, especially what we've seen with serial killers like Richard Ramirez and others, it's that a violent upbringing with regular beatings by parents or other abuse by parents or siblings or guardians or friends and others is more likely to affect their behaviors and maybe enhance any inherent psychopathy they have.
Right.
More than just simply listening to lyrics of some music.
Right. It's a perfect storm.
Right. And I think you and I can attest to that. Like you said earlier, we're both with heavy metal fans and neither of them are violent. In fact, they're so laid back. Sometimes we might need to check a pulse to make sure. So listening to those lyrics certainly hasn't caused them to go out and murder somebody.
No.
That behavior is a choice.
Yes, I agree.
And it may be spurred on by anger and aggression from the music they listen to or by the games they play, but it's still a choice.
Right.
I don't think you can hold a specific band or a video game maker or developer responsible for independent actions of a few people who have psycho tendencies.
I agree.
Now, in the years that have passed since the murder of Elise, her murderers have recanted the idea that the Slayer music caused them to do these horrific acts, and I kind of know why they're doing that. That they're thinking that might make it easier for them to get out on parole if mm-hmm. they say, no, that's not why I did it.
Mm-hmm.
They cite other reasons such as Fiorella's obsession with Elise and the idea of killing her or somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever the reason, you still need to pay for your actions, and there's no telling how long Elise would have lain there in that grove of eucalyptus trees if not for the conscience of Royce Casey. Because
right.
nobody they told their twisted story to believed them. And nobody called the police.
What do you all think?
What do you think?
Oh, I totally agree with you that I don't think... I know music can inspire us to do all kinds of things. But I tend to feel that music in general inspires people to do good things or to look introspectively and find out more about yourself or an experience. But I don't think it incites people to murder. I think this was their adolescent, childish point of view, you know.
Yes, they were all kids.
And
they were teenagers.
You know, who knows how many times they might have watched Angel Heart, which is not completely about a sacrifice necessarily. In Angel Heart, the movie, you might remember that. Mickey Rourke sells his soul to the devil in order to become a famous jazz or trumpet player, I think, or saxophone, one or the other, to mm-hmm. become a famous musician. But I just think these are impressionable adolescents who wound themselves up, and I think they should take responsibility for their actions. Like you say, not only did they kill this poor girl, they kept going back and, you know, they kept reliving it. And mm-hmm. kept, and you know, it had to be more and more disgusting each time that they went back to her because her corpse is rotting.
Yes, and then I don't know how long in weeks or whatever that they kept going back, but they went back multiple times to have sex with her corpse. And that's just, that's sick.
And I know, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure I would assume that they were seeing flyers and her face on the news. And every time they saw her parents pleading to have her come home or a flyer or whatever, it just bolstered their secret.
I would think. Now, I didn't see anything about this girl having flyers out on her. I didn't see anything about the parents' search or if there were any search parties out looking for her.
That's kind of sad.
I didn't see anything about that. Now, it may have happened, but in the articles, I read quite a few articles about this, and none of the articles spoke about that. None of the articles spoke about the search for her, other than to say they found her because of Royce Casey's leading the police to her body.
Well, thank goodness for that little kernel of conscience that did finally spring up in him. But, you know, wow.
Yeah. And if anybody should get a break on it, it's probably him for deciding what they did was wrong and confessing and turning everybody else in for it. But the others?
Well, he seemed to have some remorse. And so, yeah.
Yeah. And they've got remorse now that they're in prison.
Well, sure they do, but not the same. That's not
And that's why I think they're recanting Slayer song lyrics as being either that or Slayer paid them off.
But could do. Who knows?
I think it's really because they are afraid that if they, maybe a lawyer's told them, if you keep saying Slayer lyrics told you to do that, you're going to sound crazy and they're not ever going to let you out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is what I think.
The voice is in your head. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Well, I'm glad that the one little boy did get a conscience, and because otherwise, you know, she'd probably never be found.
Her bones would still be out there in the mesa probably. I don't know. It was 96, so that's been, what, 25 years?
Yep. Yeah.
25 years ago that she was discovered. 26 since she was murdered.
Right.
And I don't know if they would have ever been found or not.
Probably not. Well, that's really sad, Kim.
Yeah, it was a very, very, very sad story and a cautionary tale. I set my teenager down and said, look, this is what can happen to you if you trust the wrong people. And I shouldn't do that probably, but I'm like, she has a habit of trusting the wrong people, y'all.
So I think most teenagers do. Yeah.
If you got teenagers, you need to sit down and have this discussion about watching out for signs of evil, you know, and how to protect yourself from the wrong people.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, who knows why she was enticed by these guys and in their home.
They had pot to smoke.
Well, they had pot.
I'm figuring.
Well, they had pot, but remember what we were talking about the other day about the whole, this isn't completely off to the hybristophilia thing where you fall in love with a prisoner, but everybody at a certain point, especially a blonde-haired, blue-eyed little girl, thinks a dark, evil, bad boy is sexy.
And you should know. The blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl, so I don't know.
Well, I have my own bad boy, and yes, he does play metal, but he is a marshmallow deep inside. So, yeah, but yeah, we grow out of that, hopefully.
Yes,
so
usually, most women do.
Yeah,
or they go find the opposite. They go find the guy that they have to find the pulse on to. I love my hubby. He's a good guy. He does the dishes and the laundry. That's what I like. So.
Absolutely. You know, and turned up to AC/DC is my thing. You got Back in Black coming from the kitchen, but my dishwasher's running.
That's right.
Say yeah. I'm all about it.
So what do you all think? We'd love to hear your thoughts on whether you believe heavy metal music or violent video games can desensitize people to the point of causing them to commit murder or other things.
Right.
And drop by our website at www.kudzukillers.com and subscribe to find out all the things we have going on. And you can leave us a comment there about this episode.
Because Kim's worked really hard on this snazzy new website.
Well, it's still a work in progress, but all of our episodes are there. All of the players are there. And we'll have more stuff there pretty soon, like transcripts from our show and everything like that. So
yeah, we're really excited. So, you know, drop by and leave us a note. Make us feel like you
love us.
Yeah. We need some love every now and then. So y'all have a wonderful week, Kim.
Yep. Have a wonderful week and don't bury the bodies without us.
Bye y'all.